Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy, and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to know more about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI, or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Right to the questions. First up, Wally listening in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Hi, Wally.
Hey, Hank, how you doing?
I'm okay.
I have a question about doomsday. You see a lot of people online, you know, talk about prepping. I'm trying to figure out, after looking at the Bible, where is it saying that it's instructed to prep for doomsday?
Well, I think that this is an issue that is so significant in our culture that we actually have an article online at equip.org. It's titled Preparing for the Apocalypse, A Look at the Rise of Doomsday Preppers. Again, it ran in the Christian Research Journal originally and now is online at equip.org. This is nothing new. Some Americans had responded to the communist nuclear threat post-World War II. By building bomb shelters and stockpiling food and firearms in the bomb shelters. And there were a lot of cults preparing for catastrophes that they made up as part of their eschatological scenarios. There are popular television broadcasts on doomsday preppers, Discovery Channel, you find them on the National Geographic and so forth. What I would say about it simply, I'd recommend the article, but what I would say is that according to the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, as with any potential problem, whether it's a spiritual problem or a winter storm or an earthquake, what we have to do is assemble a disaster kit with enough supplies to last at least 3 days. That's the recommendation. But obviously, doomsday preppers are not about, you know, 3 days worth of food and water. They're about prepping for the apocalypse, and a lot of it is based on bad information and doomsday scenarios that have no basis in reality whatsoever.
Yes, yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, I think the best thing we can do is trust in God to provide for us.
So yeah, prepare in a reasonable fashion, but yeah, ultimately trust in God. But look, we're not suggesting that you don't prepare. I mean, we would suggest that if you are a father or a mother, that together you consider looking at the future of a child that you have. Preparing for the future of that child. That's simply being prudent. So preparing for the future is not a bad thing. We ought to prepare as though Christ's coming is a long way off and be prepared as he might even come in the next millisecond. So prepare as though he's coming a long way off, but be prepared as though he can come in the next second, because most certainly Jesus Christ could come at any time. We don't know when he will come. Only that he will appear a second time, and when he does, he'll put all things to right. Next up, David, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, David.
Hi, Hank. With everything coming at Christians and calling us hypocrites or bigots or however you want to say it, do you think that eventually that will lead to kind of thinning the fat of those who call themselves Christians? Do you think that you will see a suppression of the quote-unquote Christian culture or Christianity in this country? I know that's a little bit of a magic eight ball question, but what do you think will happen as far as Christianity in the United States?
Well, it's not about what's going to happen. It's about what has already happened. There is an iron boot that has crushed all opposition in its wake. And many Christian leaders have simply capitulated to the iron boot because they don't want to be crushed in the process. And so they become cultural imitators rather than cultural initiators. It is a huge, huge problem. Particularly when so many Christian leaders today are looking to politicians to solve the cultural problems that are ideological in nature. Politicians that know nothing whatsoever about the ideology. I mean, you think about what is being communicated with respect to Islam in this country, it is breathtaking. Breathtaking in the sense of being breathtakingly wrong, ill-conceived. And therefore, the solutions are ill-conceived. The problem being that people don't think as much about their paradigms as they think with their paradigms. So, you know, if I put on a pair of glasses that are not my glasses, I look at the world, it's going to look a whole lot different than when I put my glasses on, or even when I take my glasses off. The world looks different. So the paradigm through which you view the world is very, very important. What's also critical is that we do not capitulate to the culture. And we do not allow the Christian faith to become marginalized because people are making a caricature out of Christianity. By the way, they're doing it out of Islam as well. The same thing that's happening with the caricature of Islam is now happening with Christianity. But the problem is, the caricature is being posited as real Christianity when it is not. And ultimately, and I've thought about this early morning hours today. I thought about this for a few hours, quite frankly. And the more I thought about it, the more I came to the conclusion that the only solution is life and truth. It means Christians living the authentic Christian life and become change agents in the culture. Because if you think about it today, what has happened? Where are we today? We are today at a juncture in history in which no longer is Christianity the fastest growing religion in the world. Today, Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. So they are willing to do for a lie what Christians are not willing to do for truth. So if we're going to be change agents, it means that we become equipped, and that has to start happening now. Also, we have to be brave. We have to look at the world like the early Christians did and say, look, you can kill me, but I will live forever. Now, this is not like the jihadists that you saw with the bomb strapped to them. It's not at all like that. They look down the barrel of a gun and they see paradise, but that's not what I'm talking about. That is a false view of the world and a willingness to kill for that false view. No one is suggesting a bad episode of the Crusades. We're suggesting being ambassadors for Jesus Christ, spreading the truth not with sword, but by word. It's a very, very different proposition from what you find within Islam. But if we don't do that, the culture will continue to devolve. And as we've talked about on this broadcast, it is not just terrorism. Abortion, 3,000 freeborn children aborted since I was on the broadcast just last night. Much more could be said. Let me move on. So many people hanging on. I'm sorry that I'm kind of on a rant here. Olivia, listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi.
How are you?
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. My question is, and this has been presented to me a number of different times from unbelievers, if Adam and Eve only had two sons, then how did they procreate? Or who did they marry, or who did they have children with?
Well, the idea that Adam and Eve only had two sons is a spurious idea. You think about Adam and Eve living almost 1,000 years and only having two children? Are you kidding me? I mean, what is so important is to realize that the Bible is telling you that they had more than two kids. After Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. So the fact that you have a couple of sons highlighted for a reason does not suggest in any way that they are the only two children that Adam and Eve had. Adam and Eve, I mean, you think about having children for 1,000 years. That's a lot of children over that period of time. I think about the number of children I have. And I think of the number of grandchildren that come out of that. So Adam and Eve would have had many sons and daughters, as the biblical text tells us. And since genetic imperfections accumulate gradually over time, there was no prohibition against incest in the earlier stages of human civilization. The Levitical law against incestuous relationships comes at the time of Moses. It's hundreds of years after Cain and Abel. So familial relationships were preserved and birth defects were prevented by these kinds of laws, but they only come when they are needed. So there was no law against marrying a cousin in the time of Adam and Eve and their progeny.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You got it. My pleasure. Right back with more.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's flagship publication designed to equip you in doctrine, defense, and discernment. When you subscribe to the journal, you'll receive a magazine that's not only scholarly in its substance, but beautiful in its presentation, easily accessible and relevant, with stunning graphics and rich content written by respected theologians and communicators. The Christian Research Journal is a must-have resource that no Christian home should be without. Start your subscription today. Call 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back with more after this. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Christine, listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Christine.
Hi. I just had a couple quick questions. One, I'm kind of new Christian to everything, and I was just wanting to know what your opinion was of the role of America in the end times, or are we even mentioned, really? And two, I'm talking to a friend of mine, and he says that the Bible and everything is just a remake of old religions, like it's been said before, like Incas or something, I think he mentioned, and it's not true, because it's just like the same old stuff from before Jesus was around.
Well, Christine, I'm glad you called. I wrote a book called Has God Spoken? I think that book would be very, very helpful to you, because what it does is demonstrate that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. And it does that in many different ways, including manuscript evidence, archaeological evidence. Just stopping with archaeology for a moment, virtually every turn of the archaeologist's spade uncovers more and more evidence in the Levant that everything in the Bible corresponds to reality. We're talking about people, places, and even minute particulars. So you find that the Bible's very correct in what it communicates down to the finest of details. And there's also the matter of prophecy, which is to say that there are prophecies made in the Bible that are inexplicable. How, for example, can Daniel give a succession of nations from Babylon to the Greco-Syrian despot Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, and then get a glimpse of the coming of the babe of Bethlehem, Jesus Christ? It's inexplicable other than God condescended to reveal something to Daniel that others would simply not know about. The real problem, I think, today, Christine, is that people who deny the veracity of the Bible are either ignorant of the facts or, and this is another very significant problem, they simply don't know how to read literature, much less the literature of the Bible, and therefore they become confused about all kinds of things as they read. And so rather than denouncing, they ought to learn in meekness and humility. And that is what I presume that you are doing as a new follower of Jesus Christ. So this is not about putting your brains on hold. It is doing the very thing you're doing, asking questions, and then getting good resources, absorbing the resources, and then you can become a tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit by going to your friend and saying, look, here are the facts. Here are the answers to your questions. And the more you do that, the better you get at it. In terms of the first part of your question, whether or not America is mentioned in the Bible, the answer is unequivocally no. There's nothing whatsoever in the Bible about prophecies concerning the 21st century. Those who say there is simply suffer from the problem of not knowing how to read the Bible rightly. Nothing whatsoever. What we know about the future is simply that Jesus will appear a second time. When he does, he will put all things to right. The problem of sin and Satan will forever be resolved, and we will be resurrected immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, and inhabit a new cosmos with our Creator.
Okay, thank you.
You got it. My pleasure. Back to the phone lines. Talk to Jenna, listening in St. Charles, Missouri. Hi, Jenna.
Hello.
Hi.
My question was, since there's no time limit for Jesus, for example, when God made the earth, he didn't exactly make it on 7 days. Well, since there's no time limit for Jesus, then how long will he be on our earth for the second coming of Christ? Does that make sense?
Yeah, Jenna, it does make sense. Now, you're right in what I assume you said at the beginning of your question, and that is that we really don't know how long it took God to create, because the Bible isn't designed to answer the question of how long. When you look at the days of creation, they're designed for you to remember that God created everything during the normal cycle of everyday life. I wrote about this in a book called The Creation Answer Book to help people understand that truth. But the other part of your question about the second coming of Jesus Christ is when Jesus appears a second time, then the Bible says the universe that now groans in travail will be liberated from its bondage to decay. Put another way, that means that the universe that now has thistles and thorns and has all kinds of evils will be restored to what it would have been had sin never entered the world. And so it will be forever and ever and ever, and we will live with a resurrected Christ in a resurrected cosmos. So you, Jenna, will have a resurrected body. That body will be the perfect you. It will be your DNA, as it were, developing to complete perfection. Now, I'm sure you're lovely as you are, but imagine what you would be if sin had never entered the world. That is how you're going to be for all eternity as you learn and grow and develop, and that without mistakes.
Thank you. I actually had another question.
For you, Jenna, anything. Go ahead.
What's the difference between pre, mid, and post-tribulation?
Sure. There are people who believe that Jesus Christ is going to come back before a tribulation. That's 7 years. So the idea in this paradigm is that there is a secret coming of Jesus Christ, the church gets raptured, and then there's a tribulation that lasts 7 years. So the pre-tribulational idea is that Christ raptures people out of the world prior to the tribulation that's going to come upon the world. The mid-tribulation perspective, as you might assume, is that Christ raptures those people or takes them out of the world in the middle of the tribulation, and the post-tribulation would be after the tribulation. Now, what I would say further, Jenna, is that I don't think this scenario is true in any one of the cases, because I don't believe that there is going to be a pre-tribulational rapture or a mid-tribulational rapture or a post-tribulational rapture. I believe that what the Bible makes clear is in this world we're going to have tribulation, but we can take heart. God has overcome the world through the incarnation of Jesus Christ, and we're going to live and reign with him for all eternity. So when we're taking out of this world, as it were, it is not that we're going to go up and, you know, be like Casper the Ghost strumming a harp on a cloud, but that this universe is going to be, as I said earlier, transformed because Christ is going to return and put all things to right.
So basically what you're saying is that we won't leave our world, but Jesus will transform it into heaven?
That's exactly what I'm saying. In fact, if you go to Revelation 21, when you get done with the call, it's really interesting because in Revelation 21, John sees a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth have passed away, and there's no longer any sea. And then he says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And here's the significant passage. And then I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, or with people. He will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. So it is not as though God takes us out of this world. God doesn't scrap things, he redeems them. It's not as though he's going to get rid of you because you have defects. No, he's going to perfect you in eternity. It's not as though he's going to get rid of me because I'm now older and, you know, all these kinds of things. I got a receding hairline. No, he's going to restore me. That's what God does. So he's going to restore the universe and he's going to restore all of us in eternity.
Wow. Thank you so much.
How old are you, Jenna?
I'm 12.
Well, thank you so much for calling me. You know, I wrote a book called The Creation Answer Book, as well as The Complete Bible Answer Book. Now, when you hang on, just ask for one of those two books. I'll be happy to send it to you as my gift.
Okay, thank you.
You got it. Thanks so much for your call. Now, let's go back to the phone lines. Greg, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing, Hank?
Doing well, thank you.
My question is, can the Holy Spirit and a demon exist in one's body at the same time?
Absolutely not. I mean, the Bible is very, very clear about that. There's not a single credible example of a demonized believer. The consistent teaching of the Bible is that Christians cannot be controlled against their wills by demonic inhabitation. And I think the principle is foolproof. If you're a follower of Christ, the King himself indwells you. And therefore, you can rest assured that the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world.
Okay. Do you have any scriptures can refer me to verify this?
Sure. The scripture I just gave you, 1 John 4, but also I love the illustration Christ gives in Matthew chapter 12, where Jesus says, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Well, in the case of a demon-possessed person, the strong man is obviously the devil. But in a spirit-indwelt believer, the strong man is God. And the force of the argument leads inexorably to the conclusion that in order for demons to possess believers, they'd first have to bind the one who occupies them, namely God himself. And of course, that's impossible. So no, if your temple is a temple of the Holy Spirit, it will not simultaneously be inhabited by a demon.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. That was my perspective, but somebody was telling me different, but yeah. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. We're out of time, as you can hear from the music. Thank you so much for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.